Off the Ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.
I have a list in front of me of exhibitions you're doing in Ireland in June. It's quite a stellar list. You're going to 9 of the 32 counties. Basically, you're going on a tour around Ireland. You're doing Monaghan, Letterkenny, Drogheda, Wexford, Mullingar, Limerick, Cork, Kilkenny and Belfast, all in the month of June. Tickets on ticketstop.ie. Yeah. Some of those are with Jimmy White, your good friend. You must enjoy doing exhibitions with Jimmy.
Yeah, we have a laugh, you know. It's sort of it's still quite competitive, even though it's an exhibition. We still want to go out there and play well and put on a good show for the fans. But there's obviously not the pressure of major tournaments, so you can kind of let it go a bit more and go for your 147s and stuff like that. So, yeah, you know, I just love to play and love to compete. So, you know, and the Irish fans are fantastic. You know, always used to play at Goss, which was, for me, probably one of the best venues ever. So to come to Ireland and play in front of the Irish fans is fantastic, you know.
And Mark Allen, obviously, as well. Some of the later dates in June are with him, quarter-finalist here. He's obviously someone bound to win a world championship maybe at some point. He's up there with Karen Wilson as kind of the young talent.
Yeah, I mean, do you know what? I don't think anyone's got a right to win the world championships. I think, you know, everyone comes into this tournament like this year and there was maybe 10, 12 players that you think could do it, but they just seem to fall short sometimes, you know. So until someone actually wins it, it's very difficult to say they're going to win it, you know. But yeah, he's a fantastic player, great talent, and won the Masters this year. And yeah, for me, he's got the game to win a world title.
Reading your book recently, Running, page 2 or 3, very early on it says something like, you know, snooker is the game that you sometimes detest so much you can barely look at a cue, and other times, you know, it's the love of your life.
Yeah.
So where are you right now in your relationship with snooker?
I love it. I've been pretty much loving it for the last 6 years. You know, I've been playing some really good consistent stuff which enables you to relax and enjoy, and you can attack the balls more. You know, I'm not a kind of defensive player. I don't ever want to play a nick and run type player. I had a few years where I had to play that way because I had no long game and stuff like that. But actually, you know, when you're feeling confident and cueing well, you can really attack the balls and dominate matches, you know, and that's how I like to play. So yeah, I've been feeling pretty good, and you know, I'm hopeful that, you know, the next 5-10 years I can still compete and hopefully get another world title maybe.
We mentioned there the prodigies, kind of the young players coming through. You yourself, from reading up, age 10, first century, age 12, first pro-am tournament win, age 15, your first maxi, it's pretty incredible. Sure, look, you have to do your research these days. But did you consider yourself a prodigy back then? Did you realise you were a prodigy and you were someone who actually was going to make it big from that young age? Or was it just a matter of, you know, I want to be a good snooker player? You never really thought past the table?
No, I never thought past, you know, just playing the game and enjoying it and just wanting to see how far I could get with it. Not how far I could get with it in terms of winning tournaments and being a world champion, just how far I could get with being as good as I could be at the game. So for me, there was never any like option of other than just to play snooker. Even if I didn't turn pro, I just loved to play. So to be able to make a living out of it and love what you do was sort of, I'm quite blessed really and lucky in that way.
I was chatting to Stephen Hendry yesterday and there was a quote that your colleague in Eurosport, Dave Hendon, said before. He said, obviously, talking about longevity and players who are able to play past their 40s, we see John Higgins and Mark Williams at the moment, and you obviously playing at 42 as well to a high standard. Dave Hendon has compared yourself and Hendry to the Beatles and the Rolling Stones. So Hendry was the Beatles, you know, big for 10 years and that's it, whereas you're more like the Rolling Stones, kind of age gracefully and continue playing for a long time. What do you make of that kind of reference?
Yeah, I think, you know, I read that myself and I thought, you know, he pretty much got that pretty bang on, you know. But Hendry got a lot in them years that he was around, you know, had 7 world titles, still won, you know, he still holds the record for the most ranking events. So, you know, I just happened to sort of, I've lingered on a little bit longer. Hendry kind of didn't really win much past 30, and I think for the last 10 years of his career he struggled a bit. So, you know, when you've been that good, I think at some point you just go, well, unless I'm going to get back them to them winning days, you naturally just say, well, I've had enough. Whereas me, I've kind of played probably my best snooker in the last 6 years, so there's that hope and enthusiasm to hopefully win some more, you know.
A lot of people talking this week about the barge with Ali Carter. I'm not going to talk about that barge. I want to talk about a different barge, the barge you've been living on. Yeah. And the barge in, I know it was in Hertfordshire in 2010, you were living on a barge.
Yeah.
In Sheffield, you've got a barge here. That's a pretty unique way of kipping and sleeping out in Sheffield. But how's life on the barge?
Life on the barge is pretty good, really. You know, I cook on there, I relax on there. I don't actually sleep on there. I have a hotel room as well, which is just across the road. But I just use it as a space to go, so it's like a home from home. Hotel rooms can get a bit lonely, so I try and create a home from home wherever I go. So a bit of home cooking, just sit up, put your feet up, make a cup of tea, and little things like that just make travelling a little bit easier. So I'm a bit of a home person, really, so I try and create that environment wherever I go, you know. So I leave the barge here in Sheffield, so whenever I get to come up here, I get a bit of home from home feeling, you know.
You mentioned food there, and obviously cooking is something that's important to you. I know yourself and Rhiannon Lambert have a nutrition book coming out fairly soon. Over 80 recipes in it. I think the name of the book, Top of Your Game, Eating for the Mind and Body.
Yeah.
Was that something, I know you've said before, you know, there's players half your age who are sitting on their iPhones, eating crap, and they're just not looking after themselves. They think just playing, practicing snooker is all you need to do, when in fact there's a whole lot more you need to do beyond the table.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's you've got to look at yourself like a Formula One car, and then if there's one component that's not right, then it's going to affect every other thing. So I think for most of the guys that are on the tour, potting and making breaks, and, you know, we all know we can do that. So you kind of have to try and look at the other areas in your life, which is, you know, your mind, your body, you know, and just being in peak condition to be able to perform at, you know, the highest level. And I think, you know, it's like building a robot sometimes, you know, you have to start up the ground and kind of and make it as strong as you can, and, you know, and that's all you can do, really.
I've seen a few of your Instagram lives and all these cooking demonstrations. In fact, you do a really good Australian accent when you're doing some of them. It's pretty good. I don't know if you've been practicing that one.
I love talking Australian, mate. It just makes me feel so positive, you know. They're just such a positive race of people. You know, they just love to just bash us up in the ashes and all that, you know. I get a great kick, you know, and just feel kind of good, you know.
Can you tell me about that 5 minute, 20 second maximum break only in an Australian accent?
Yeah, I remember I got in, mate, and he kind of left me a nice red and I cannoned the black over, and it just kind of happened so quick, mate, you know, and I was just thinking, wow, this is great stuff, you know, making a 147 and, you know, the Crucible Theatre, 167 grand, mate. I was thinking, get in there.
You're pretty much practicing. I know you've said, look, you're doing loads of stuff outside of snooker at the moment. I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here has been mentioned, but it's been touted. Steve Davis has done it. I think Jimmy White has done it as well. We're going to see you in the jungle next year, surely.
Well, I mean, if the check's big enough, then I'm sure I might have to consider it. But, you know, I've got no desire to do anything that I don't really want to do. So, you know, a lot of things that I do, you know, you have a priority list. You know, first thing is, do I want to do it? And if I want to do it, I do it. Some stuff, you're not really bothered about doing it. But, you know, if the price is right, then you have to kind of think, well, maybe that's something I'll do, you know. I'd like to have a go at doing something like the jungle. I think it'd be fun. But obviously, snooker's my main priority. So we'll have to wait and see what happens.
I know you mentioned the checkbook stuff there, and I know Barry Hearn this week of World Snooker has mentioned mass pretty significant increase in prize funds for the Crucible next year. One of the other changes he's brought about is the naming and shaming of slower players.
Yeah.
Now, this won't affect you, obviously, with 16.92 seconds per shot type time frame, but do you think that's possible? Stephen Hendry says it's not going to be something that's going to be very easy to implement, but do you think it's possible to implement punishment of slower players in snooker?
They can do what they like, can't they? I mean, they make the rules up. They sort of can, you know, and if you don't abide by the rules, they, you know, they set, what they said is a yellow card, and then they're going to fine them. Yeah, listen, that's just how it is on the tour, you know. It's run like that. But that's why I choose to sort of run my own career. I like the way Floyd Mayweather does it, you know. He goes, well, it's my show and I'm going to do what I want to do. And the idea for me to go and do other stuff was to free myself from that. So as I just come to play snooker for fun, I'm not one of these people that wants to be like you feel like a prison inmate sometimes on the tour, you know, where they kind of have you under strict orders. I prefer to go like down the Mayweather route, which is do my own exhibitions, do my own tours, go and do my work in China. Obviously, you know, get involved in other industries, like health and fitness is massive for me. So for me, you know, they can bring in whatever they rule they like, really, and they have to do what they have to do to try and get the games where they want to get it. But you know, I don't really, you know, I don't do rules too well. So I try and sort of make it my life in a way where I have my own rules and my own boss. And I just pitch up and hit a few balls. And because, you know, I'm not one to, you know, I'm definitely not one, I'm not a follower. you know, a lot of the players on the circuit, they'll just take whatever's given to them and just accept it. And that's cool if you can do that. But I just know that's not in my makeup. So, you know, I have to kind of run my own show and then I can make the snooker part of it bearable, if you like.
I don't want to keep you too long because I know you're going to watch Bellew and Hay part two, but Tyson Fury and yourself, that seems to be...
He's a legend. I love Tyson. He's such a cool dude.
Are we going to see you in the ring with him? I saw him calling you out on Instagram.
Yeah. Oh, listen, he's such a nice guy and, you know, he gets such a bad press and bad media, and I met him in a gym and he was just like a lovely, lovely sweetheart of a guy. You know, he's actually quite shy in many ways, but he's a bit of an extrovert, you know, and I just love him. I just think, you know, it's great to see him back getting in shape first. He's going to have a couple of warm-up fights, but yeah, it'd be just great to see him get in there, because I do think that he's the best heavyweight out there, so to not have him around at this time where there's a lot of good heavyweight matchups would have been kind of bit sad, really. So I think for every boxing fan, which I am, I'm a huge boxing fan, to see Tyson come back, it's now going to sort of, like, you know, really get exciting, I think. So, you know, but I'm a Tyson fan.
Final question, because I know you're in a rush, but the future of snooker. I was chatting with different people about this over the last couple of days. Some people think the sport is in a bit of a decline, maybe, in some ways. You know, snooker halls are not cheap to rent out. You know, there's 10 and 12 snooker tables, there's a lot of space. iPhone generation, kids just looking at their phones. They don't have the attention span to watch, never mind play a game of snooker. Yeah. Is snooker in decline? And if so, what do you think can or should be done about it?
I think really you have to look at sports like golf, tennis and cricket, you know, and they've tried to reinvent themselves and in a way to try and attract a younger audience. And I think for snooker to go further, I think in future the new people that take snooker over would have to be a bit more forward thinking to kind of learn from other sports, you know, and try and interact and get a younger generation involved in snooker. So I think for the future of the game, more forward thinking type people would be what snooker would need. But at the moment, it's in as good a shape as it has been. But yeah, it's well behind some of the other sports, you know.
I want to finish up. So the dates in June, you're playing Monaghan on Monday, 4th of June, Tuesday, 5th in Letterkenny, Wednesday, 6th in Drogheda, Thursday, 7th in Wexford. Most of those are with Jimmy White, I think. John Virgo is going to be at these events too as an MC and a trick shot expert, which I've never seen. I'm looking forward to see. 25th in Mullingar, 26th in Limerick, 27th of June in Cork, 28th in Kilkenny, and the 30th in Belfast. Some of those dates are with Mark Allen. Yeah. As he said, tickets on ticketstop.ie. It's actually Drogheda man, Conor O'Boyle, who's been one of the people behind bringing this event to Ireland. But listen, it's been a pleasure, Ronnie, and look forward to seeing you in June in Ireland.
Top man, thank you very much.
Cheers, mate.
Enjoyed it, mate. It's been a great interview.
Off the Ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.